Greetings, this is Stephen Merritt, and I apparently on WGXC Accra, which I think of as WGXC Hudson, but I don't know. I've never been to Accra.
Turn out or tune in to two of the world's greatest percussionists performing in Catskill at the Avalon Lounge on October 16th from 8 to 10 p.m. Composers and percussionists Tatsuya Nakatani and Bobby Previtt perform with a live web stream at WGXC.org. Turn out or tune in for Tatsuya Nakatani and Bobby Previtt performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on Sunday, October 16th from 8 to 10 p.m. Find out more in the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Ginger Radio Hour. I'm Justin Maiman. You're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. I'm live here in the studio. And you're hearing, underneath my voice, some wonderful music we're going to hear more from today, as well as the musician and composer behind it, Sam Sedekrisky. The album is called The Solomon Diaries, three volumes inspired by the Catskills and the Borscht Belt specifically, and I'll tell you so much more about that later on in the show. But you're hearing Sam right now on clarinet, and the album features Nathan Cosey, who is playing the accordion. It's good mood setter. You'll hear from Sam later on in the show. We had a conversation last week, met over Zoom, and I'm really looking forward to playing this for you. Until then, let's set the mood in some other ways. Alice Coltrane featuring Pharoah Sanders. That, of course, was John Coltrane from the complete Atlantic Recordings. It was John Coltrane on tenor sax, McCoy Tyner on piano, Steve Davis on bass, and Elvin Jones on drums. Before that, you heard Alice Coltrane featuring Pharoah Sanders, the song, the track Shiva Loca. Let's continue the jazz theme here. This is a little bit of Thelonious Monk filler, but I want to play a track from a Steve Lacy album that I like quite a bit called Evidence. Here's Steve Lacy and Don Cherry. Thank you. So I want to introduce you to some of the music of Sam Sedikersky before I play an excerpt from our conversation. His album, which came out this year, is called The Solomon Diaries. I'll tell you more about what inspired it and how it came about. Actually, he will, in a few minutes. But first, some tracks from that album. We'll start with Flight of the Commodore.
Thank you.
This is Ginger Radio Hour. I'm Justin Maiman. That was the track What You Learn Here from Volume 3 of the Solomon Diaries. Sam Sadagurski is playing the clarinet on that. He composed all the music, 3 volumes, and Nathan Kosi plays the accordion, featured throughout all 28 tracks. I wish I could play them all for you. But I'd like to play an excerpt from our conversation when Sam and I spoke last week. In this selection, Sam will refer to Marissa Scheinfeld, who you will remember from Ginger Radio Hour this summer. She was on talking about her book, The Borscht Belt, a book of photographs. And you'll hear how Sam was inspired by Marissa and the Borscht Belt itself. So let's go right into that interview.
I was part of a Broadway show called The Band's Visit, which really like connected me to Jewish music and Middle Eastern Arabic music in a way that was, much deeper than I had been before. My father's actually a kind of like klezmer clarinetist and accordionist. So I grew up hearing a lot of Jewish music and, you know, Eastern European folk music as well.
I'm going to start that over. That was operator error on my part. Please hold.
I was part of a Broadway show called The Band's Visit, which really like connected me to Jewish music and Middle Eastern Arabic music in a way that was, much deeper than I had been before. My father's actually a kind of like klezmer clarinetist and accordionist. So I grew up hearing a lot of Jewish music and, you know, Eastern European folk music as well. He's like just an encyclopedia of those styles. He grew up, you know, playing these weddings that would go on for 2 days, and they would just have to have like unbelievable repertoires. And not only that, but they would actually play multiple instruments so that they could sort of rotate breaks between the musicians and keep the music going. So anyway, yeah, it's a little funny that I end up with like this clarinet accordion duo. So I think I was just looking to do something that was more outside of the jazz, not jazz mainstream, because I haven't really put anything that, you know, you'd hear on WBGO or anything, but something that was a little bit more folk inspired and I hope accessible and simple. And I really wanted to have a grouping that could kind of just play anywhere. We've played a lot of places that are not traditional music venues, and I really like doing that. So everything I'd done before was based around the piano, being part of the group and being, you know, a very core part of the group. And so I really wanted to get away from that. And I was at, my son was at the nursery school at the local synagogue at the time. And I was there and I found Marissa's book, and it just really, really excited me. Not only, the Jewishness of it and the connection to this specific place, but also there's something about these sort of ruins that really fascinates me. Like there's something about, you know, just the impermanence of them that is just very, 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 very powerful. These places were so grand and built, you know, to kind of be there forever. And you had this unbelievable, you know, trajectory of just expansion in the region. And then, you know, over the course of 10 years, it almost completely vanished. Long story long.
That wasn't so long.
Okay.
I did get a chance. So I've been listening to all the volumes over and over the last week. But then this morning I listened to volume one while looking through Marissa's book. And it's such a wonderful, it's almost like you two should get some CDs into like the front flap of this. It's a really wonderful companion as you look through these photographs.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, when we do performances, I always try to bring copies of the book and, you know, have them passed around. And thank you. That's a huge compliment. And it started, I thought actually when I started writing these pieces that they would all have I don't, you know, Marissa doesn't like the, what I've used the word desolate a few times, and Marissa doesn't really love that word. Actually, she's asked me to not to use that in writing. And I forgot, you know, some of the other words I've used, but you know, I thought the music was going to have that, a bit of a sort of like dark, desolate quality to it. And the first few pieces that I wrote were actually that. So yeah, I thought these pieces would kind of like have that quality, you know, like a music, like musicians would almost call it like an ECM sort of energy. And you know, but then as I sort of like wrote more and more, and I wrote, the reason there's three volumes is well, there was this thing called the pandemic, but I also like most of these pieces were actually written pre-pandemic, and I write when I kind of like find a thing that intrigues me, and a mode of writing or like a setting, I realize I just get completely obsessive and everything else gets pushed aside. And yeah, I was kind of just lucky to have a period like that of, you know, maybe 6 months to a year, and wrote probably, you know, I think about 40 pieces. And so we ended up recording 28 pieces. But yeah, really also the three volumes were just a way to sort of make Lemonade during the pandemic. And Nathan, I was really lucky to have Nathan Kosi, the accordionist, who's such a, you know, just busy, prolific musician in so many different scenes. Kind of like I had him to myself for that period, and it was really extraordinary to be able to really build this and just to be able to kind of make music in the pandemic and have something to sort of you know, carry forward and eventually put out.
One quick follow-up is just, I don't want to get too technical, but did you record it in a studio with Nathan, or was it pandemic conditions and you were actually sharing things back and forth?
No, it was really important that we, you know, make music in a room together. So we did do it in a studio. We found a studio where we could sit 30 feet apart, and we, you know, tested ourselves and did our best to sort of like quarantine. And Nathan would wear like a, you know, N95 mask for like for 10 hours straight, you know, doing these recording sessions. He actually like had to practice playing with one of these masks on, because, you know, when you play the accordion, you sort of look down it now and then, and the mask sort of blocked that. So yeah, it was very much sort of like pandemic conditions, and you know, yeah, we did this sort of at the height of the pandemic, and I guess like, you know, the beginning of 2021. I, you know, doing things remotely, I mean, I did a handful of them, but it always sort of like, rather than brought me joy, was more just like a reminder of, you know, things that we had lost, you know, as musicians in this.
So I'm glad you used the word joy, because you had mentioned that you were worried, or that you thought that it might have a desolate sound to it, or almost a soundtrack of desolation. But some of the words I wrote down as I listened to it were joyous, propulsive, melancholic, which I think is a much better feeling than, you know, desolation or anything like that.
Yeah, I think that is one of the words that we've actually substituted. So yes, thank you for that.
But in that way, so it creates a bit of a soundtrack for me. I'm always looking to put music onto, I tend to listen to a lot of music while I walk around the Catskills and in the mountains. So I tend to try to kind of create these soundtracks or layer them upon, you know, the landscape. And speaking of landscape, that's something Marissa and I talked a lot about. It's like both a concept, but a very specific way that she thought of the photographs she took. And I kind of felt a lot of landscape-ish feelings while I listened to the Solomon Diaries.
Yeah, that was definitely the intention. I mean, the first track is probably the most, you know, landscape inducing one, or which is called Flight of the Commodore. And then, yeah, one of the things that Nathan and I did record, you know, together in the same room, but we did end up doing quite a few sort of like overdubs, and he actually added this just like gorgeous, gorgeous piano part to that. But also we kind of like used all this found and archival audio, and that first track, you know, has these sort of like old, like radio static noises and calls, and I think to sort of add to the atmospheric quality there.
Atmospheric, that's good. I like that word too. And those kind of bits and bobs of found archival material and music and spoken word happened throughout. And I wondered, did you imagine as you wrote these that you would use something like that later on when you produced it, or was that something that happened later?
It kind of happened later. I mean, I realized that three albums of just clarinet and accordion was going to be a lot to take in. And also, we had been playing a lot of this music actually pre-pandemic as a quartet with an amazing percussionist, Satoshi Takeshi, and acoustic flamenco guitarist, Don Nadell. And, you know, the pandemic sort of whittled it down to a duo. I mean, doing this recording live in the same room as a duo was, you know, felt like enough of a triumph. I wasn't going to try to get four people in the room to play together. That felt impossible. So it was kind of a way of bringing, you know, some of the energy that they brought. Like a lot of the audio we used, I really thought of it as percussive, almost at adding rhythm. And it was frankly just like a lot of fun to do. I mean, I had the time once my kids went back to school to really like deep dive into, I mean, most of it came from just like obsessive YouTube searches.
Sam Sadagurski there, talking about the Solomon Diaries. We're going to hear some more from that. You can look up Sam Sadagurski on Bandcamp to get the Solomon Diaries, all three volumes, and much more Sam Sadagurski music. Thank you. melancholic. That's the word that comes to mind for me. You've been listening to tracks from Sam Sadakursky's The Solomon Diaries. That was Concord Winter. Before that, Never Sink and 87 North. Thank you to Sam. You can go buy all of those albums on his Bandcamp. And you've been listening to Ginger Radio Hour. My name is Justin, live here in Accra on WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you for listening. Here's one more Sam Sadakursky track, a little more upbeat.